Hey, fearless fundraisers, I'm Dawn Lego. It's time to buckle up for a new episode of Raise Nation Radio, the one and only podcast made to inspire fundraisers like you to continue making impact in our communities, building better tomorrows, and exchanging ideas. So whether you're a trailblazer or a seasoned pro, you'll pick up those trends that transform your fundraising. And together, we'll dive into lively conversations, and we'll chat with industry-leading fundraisers and thought leaders to explore all the hot button issues and innovative ideas. So stay with us for the next 30 minutes while we inspire you to embrace the future of fundraising. All right, let's get going. Welcome back, Raise Nation. We're so glad you're joining us again. If you've been with us before, thank you for making this show just so popular. We're in our 130th plus episodes and counting, and we love connecting with you this way. If you're new to Raise Nation, well, you can find us just about anywhere. So, we're glad that you're joining us for the first time, but please be fans and enjoy the family, and make sure you follow and keep in touch with us this way. So I'm super excited to talk with our next guest about a topic that I'll have to admit I'm not too familiar about. So I am going to be learning along with our audience. And please welcome to the show, Mr. Stephen King. He's the founder and CEO of Growth Force. Did I get that right, Stephen? Hi, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Dawn. You did. Yeah, Growth Force.
Growth Force. I don't know. This doesn't slide off my tongue the way I'd like it to. But hopefully by the end of this episode, I'll have it down pat. But Stephen, it's so nice to have you. I kind of did a little bit of homework, but I'm really looking forward to our conversations today because this is the topic that I'm just not too familiar with. But before we get there, our audience would love to get to know you. Who is Stephen King? So I'm going to let you, instead of me reading a bio, why don't you just say hi to the audience and tell us a little about yourself, what you do, and whatever you'd want to share personally.
Sure. You know, Growth Force is an outsourced accounting department for nonprofits and small businesses that use QuickBooks and Intact. And I didn't call the firm Stephen King CPAs. I called it Growth Force because what we want to do is be a force for growth. We want to help our nonprofit clients not just count the beans, but I'm passionate about helping raise the more beans, increase the number of outcomes that can happen because your numbers can tell your story. And so while we're focused on making sure that your accounting is done perfectly, audit ready, financial ready, but more importantly, data decision ready. What I like to do is help them use those numbers to tell the donors the story and raise more money.
So the impact story with
yes,
the data. Yeah,
exactly. And I come from a very unique background. I was at Ernst & Young as a CPA, and then I ended up being the chief financial officer of a nonprofit called Amnesty International USA, right after Bruce Springsteen and Sting and U2 did a worldwide tour, and Amnesty grew from $6 million to $18 million in a year and a half. I got a chance to come in and put the systems in place to manage that growth. And then took over fundraising for 3 years and learned how to raise $20 million. So I have that left and right brain connection that you often find with accountants and fundraisers don't have.
Yeah, I don't have that connection. So I'm excited to chat with you today. And when I opened this show, I said this was a topic that I wasn't too familiar with. Well, I didn't mean like, you know, accounting and, you know, keeping your books and making sure that everything reconciles. I love what you do, that you take the data and turn that into a social impact story. So all of that I got, but we are going to talk today a little bit more specifically about the Sustainer program. And I don't know what that is. I have to be, you know, admit that. So can you explain the Sustainer program and why nonprofits should be interested in what that is? I know I'm interested in what that is.
Sure. Yeah. I'm passionate about this because I think it really solves a lot of problems for organizations that have cash flow problems. First off, start with why. Why is this crucial for a nonprofit right now? According to Charities Aid Foundation of America, there is a 70% increase in demand for funding, and 68% of nonprofits are facing a decrease in funding. So just at the very time that there's more need than ever, we're finding a lot of organizations struggle. And coming into an election year, it's not, you know, there's a lot of fear that it's going to get worse. What a sustainer program is, or a monthly giving program, it's simply donors commit an amount they will pay automatically every month, preferably through a debit to the ACH card or a credit card payment. And that commitment is open-ended. It's ongoing. It's not, there's, when you have a time-bound monthly gift, like a capital campaign, I'm going to give you, you know, $1,000 a month for a year. That's an installment gift. So it's not time-bound. It's open-ended. A donor chooses to give you an amount every month. And what it's not is a set it and forget it program. It doesn't work on autopilot. You have to invest and manage it. So but it's really valuable because it gives you an opportunity, number one, to connect more frequently with your donors. Every month you have an opportunity to send them a cultivation, to send them an acknowledgement, to send them a stewardship report, create some connection with your donors, which we're always seeking. And there you can count on those funds, which means when you're trying to pay payroll or decide whether or not to hire a new employee, you have the cash coming in every month to help you pay those bills.
Okay. So I get it. I think this goes by a couple of different terms in the nonprofit space. So I'm familiar with donor programs described as recurring gift programs. So that we're talking about the same thing here.
Exactly.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah.
So yes, of course, I agree then. Super crucial to nonprofits so that they're able to budget, predict, and just, well, I think the way you describe it best, sustain their mission and their impact. So, all righty. So now there's the one-time donor and there's the recurring gift donor. Can we dive into that psychology, you know, a little bit to why we have those two different types of donor? I think if we understand that better, then we might be able to do a better job converting all donors to a recurring gift donor or one-time donors into recurring gift donors. So let's dive into that psychology a little.
Yeah, I'm not an expert on psychology, but I can speak to my experiences of 35 years serving nonprofits. And as a donor myself, I think, you know, what most of us want to avoid is uncertainty, right? It's there's nothing worse than, you know, getting a surprise bill. And what monthly donors like is the ability to make life easy and feel good with limited effort. So this is something where the donor can set it and forget it. The development team can't. You have to, again, build that connection with the donors. But the idea here is that the Society of Fundraising Executives has shown proven results over decades that if you can show the donor the tangible result of their gift, you'll get more money. You'll get higher average gifts, and you'll get more frequent giving. And so for sustainer donors, this is an opportunity to be able to repeatedly show the donor the tangible result of the gift. You know, we do work with an organization called the Village Learning and Achievement Center in Kingwood, Texas. And they have a monthly giving sustainer program that able to fund a need. You know, it costs, they provide services to help adults with intellectual and development disabilities in the Kingwood community live to their fullest potential, live an inclusive life. And so part of their program is to provide transportation to their vocational services. So they have identified, and they're a client of ours, so they're with our help, they've identified it costs $95 a month to be able to put one villager on one seat on the bus to help fund the need for transportation services. And the psychology of a donor that's a monthly donor likes to be able to know that when I'm driving down Kingwood Drive and I see the Village buses going up and down the drive, I'm paying for one seat on that bus. And the other aspect of a monthly giving program is, psychologically, we all have a need to belong to something bigger than ourselves, right?
True.
It's a need. It's Maslow. It's a need. And so, you know, we want to belong to things. Creating a sustainer program creates a community that people will want to belong to.
So I think it's just the recurring gift or the sustainer program in and of itself defines retention, right? If I'm going to give $50, $100 a month and I'm signing up for it to be recurring with an indefinite expiration date, that nonprofit has retention. But you make the claim that there's an in the first year that your retention rates go up significantly once that donor is enrolled in a retention program. So it's like two-sided. They're already in a retention program, but you are saying that you kind of that first year have captured them for life, perhaps. So can you help elaborate on that a little bit more and why that is?
Sure. It's actually not my claim, I'm proud to say. It's the nonprofit Times. And they reported that donors enrolled in a monthly giving program are retained 70 to 80%, whereas retention rates for one-time donors are only 41 to 50%. And monthly
and
donors...
Yeah. Not because they're enrolled in the recurring gift program. It's that that type of program does what to keep the retention?
Connection. It creates a deeper level of connection. Oh, sorry, there's one other piece here. They also say in the nonprofit Times that monthly donors stay active as an engaged donor two or three times longer than the occasional donor. So that's pretty substantial ROI. And, you know, what it boosts donor retention because it creates a community of dedicated donors. It helps you to align your messaging in a strategic way that reinforces the return on investment that your donors are getting from their contribution. You know, we, as fundraisers, are looking for ways to uncover what our donors' interests are, to create more of a connection with the donor and the organization, right? That's our number one goal. Find out what are they interested in and find ways to bring them closer to our mission. And if you offer a sustainer program, you want to create some benefit of being in that program. Like, for example, you know, when I was the director of development of Amnesty International, we created a Partners of Conscience program. So branding is the first step, right? You have to give this a name, make it something special. You know, the village center, the Partners of Conscience, the founder's circle, something that makes it unique and exclusive. You want to have it tightly connected to your mission, right? Partner of Conscience was specifically chosen because Amnesty International's mission is to help prisoners of conscience, people who are imprisoned for their nonviolent act, and help stop torture. And so that's the first thing, right? Branding this based on your organization's brand and making it kind of exclusive. Then step two in my mind is defining what you get by being a member of this group. You know, you can give premiums. You know, at Amnesty, we would say if you become a Partner of Conscience, you're going to get a sticker and you're going to get a copy of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. And we'll give you we send some people who give certain dollar amounts a suitable for framing copy of the Nobel Peace Prize we received. Like, just connection, right? But premiums really are short term. They're not the big reason why. It's the unique information about how their support makes the difference. Every month, you know, I love my coaching my clients on fundraising, you know, how to write, and I learned this from Craver Matthews Smith and Mike McLeod in DC, write your emails in the first person. I wish you could have been with me on the first day of school at the top of the stairs when Mary came to with her eyes open and her bag filled with school supplies that you paid for. Like, creating that connection in the first person allows the donor to feel good without having to do much work. Money came out of my bank account, just like it did for Netflix. I don't feel that pain because it's in the budget. It's already happening. But if I understand how my ongoing support makes a difference, if you can show the donor the tangible result of their gift, then the Sustainer program gives you an opportunity to do that every month. And that's really what the big difference here. You can also have other benefits, like you get included in special events. You know, we're going to have a poker night. We're going to have a golf tournament. We're going to have a gala, you know, whatever your event activities are, for a certain amount can get include those tickets. And that means that if you are getting the money every month of the year, you don't have the pressure of having the event be the fundraiser, because again, the Society of Fundraising Executives shows that that's one of the lowest, least effective ways of raising money. Events are typically used to acknowledge your donors, to cultivate new donors, and to recruit new donors and volunteers. So the idea here is that there are benefits that you get that will make somebody want to give.
Howdy, Raise Radio. This is Kirsten Hill, Director of Nonprofit Solutions at Firespring. We are dusting off our boots, looking forward to speaking and exhibiting at the 2024 Raise Conference. As a full-service marketing company specializing in nonprofits, we know how critical it is to promote your organization and events. Visit firespring.com/raise for a special offer for Raise attendees. That's firespring.com/raise. We look forward to seeing you in Nashville. Yeehaw!
So I love what you're saying here. In a sustainer or recurring gift program, it sounds like every nonprofit should have a program. But a program is really not on your donation page to say, you know, do you want to give monthly versus this one-time gift? You're talking about really developing a program, giving it a name, branding it, marketing it, and having people belong to something. It's not about the recurring $10, $50, $100, whatever that amount is. It's about the programming itself that makes it successful. Is that what I'm hearing?
John, you're exactly right. That's probably the biggest mistake I see with clients is they set it and forget it. They put it on autopilot, right? That is not what this is about. This is your best donors. These are the ones that they're sustaining you, right?
Yeah.
And you want to have a communication strategy. You want to have a storyboard. You want to outline through your direct mail, if you're doing that, email, social media, what are the opportunities for including messaging about sustained giving? In preparation for our call, I went to the Village Learning Center's website just to see, because my wife, Trish, and I are monthly givers, and just to see how did they do it. And on their donate now button on the homepage, the form says, you know, how much do you want to give? And then there's a dropdown and it defaults to recurring.
Oh, it does. Wow.
It defaults to recurring. Oh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, you know, we want to give $10 a month. We give $100 a month, or we want to give $100 and you can change it to a one-time gift. But the idea there being that you want to be thinking about how to upsell the sustainer program through pop-ups when somebody makes a one-time gift, or giving them a way to opt in at the bottom of your emails, you know. But the key thing is the messaging. The messaging will attract the donors. You want to show, I'm going to repeat this one because it's the number one thing to take away. You want to show the donors the tangible results of the gift. You know, Sally Struthers did it famously on late night television for $15 a day for 82 cents, sorry, $15 a month, 82 cents a day. You can, whatever your mission is, feed families or you know, help break the cycle of homelessness and abuse, or provide, you know, veteran with wheelchair, like our Wheelchairs for Warrior client does. If you can show them that this is, it costs $1,000 to do X, if you can give us $100 a month, we can do this for, you know, somebody else.
Okay, you're definitely, some light bulbs are going off here. So I think that part of your program is technology, right? You need the innovation. You need the tools to make this streamlined. But so that's kind of the given, right? You have to be able to donate, pick the amount, make it recurring, the software behind the scenes, give you the report, all of that stuff. That's kind of like just baseline. That's where you start. But you're really, I guess I was remiss in thinking that all nonprofits have a recurring gift sustainer program because their software enables that feature, or their software should enable that feature. But you're saying, no, not all nonprofits have a recurring or sustainer program because they really, the steps to creating a successful program is more than that software. It is all of the belonging, connection, branding, impact, storytelling, month to month to month to month. So you have to be your own sustainer program. But as I'm going through that, it sounds like it's a lot of work because nonprofits, we know, limited resources, limited bandwidth, lots to think about, lots to do. Just their signature event themselves consumes all their time. So how, what advice do you have? Because I'm catching on with what you're saying. What advice, though, do you have for nonprofits that want to go beyond the software and have a really good recurring gift program? There's lots of challenges for them. So how do they implement this well? What advice do you have for them?
Well, number one, it has to become someone's job, right? In their job description. And then you have to measure the results. Those two actions are linked.
Okay.
No, most people don't have the resources that they need, but they do have someone in the development team or the community engagement team who is responsible for helping to coordinate all the things that happen. You know, the work with your client, the events that you put on, the outreach that you do. And all you gotta do is once a month, pick one and share it and let the donor know. Because you are contributing $100 a month, we are able to, and then tell a story of what they're able to do. It's really not creating anything new, but repackaging the things you're already doing so that your donors know it. And then that work that you're cultivating, you are acknowledging your whatever stewardship, if you're reporting back to your major donors, right? Just package it for the sustainer donors. Think of them as your major donor. So you're already doing events. You're already having activities. People are taking pictures of your clients and celebrating your win. Now just share that with your monthly givers.
Yeah. Okay. So to our audience that, you know, I don't know, maybe they're on their Peloton right now or driving their kids to soccer and they thought they had a recurring program because they've got that little button on their software that says, do you want to give monthly or whatever the recurring, placement is, or they thought they had a sustainer program, but they don't because they're not really executing the way you're describing. What's their first step? What's the first step that you would advise them?
Well,
I think you already said it. It's got to be somebody's job, but you're like, okay, I get it. The light bulb went off for me too, Dawn. So what's the next step they need to take?
You know, when we help design accounting systems for our client, we always start with the end in mind, right? What are the decisions you have to make? And one of the first decisions is, and what metric do you want to track? And most of our clients, they're like, I don't know, everything. Well, you know, part of our job is to know what you should be tracking. And for sustainers, you know, Gino Wickman in his book Traction wrote, what management monitors gets done. And you can't manage.
Wait, let's say that again. What was it?
What management monitors gets done. What you as the executive director or the head of development or a board member, start to monitor. You start reporting on whatever management reports on. That cascades down to the teams, down from the teams to the individuals. Oh, the boss wants to see X, so let's just get her that. Now all of a sudden people start paying attention. In a development program, if you really want to kick off a sustainer program, you just track the simple thing, the number of active sustainers you have. Show it in a chart. Show the average monthly donation. How much do you get from each of those donors? The number of months that they're a donor and the attrition that you have. Those are the kinds of things that if you want to be serious about improving your cash flow, just start tracking it. And all of a sudden, the team will start saying, all right, well, how do we increase this number? How do we increase the number of active donors and active sustainers? And that will start to be, that will get done.
Got it. You know, what I'm finding very unique, so I want to talk about Growth Force a little bit.
Okay.
Notice that slipped off my tongue a little bit better that time. This is very unique because when I think of, you know, CPA, accounting, you know, I really do think of spreadsheets and numbers and, you know, 1 + 1 = 2 and reconciliation. But your firm and your agency is very, very different. That's what I'm getting. That's the vibe that I'm getting from this conversation, because there's a lot of consulting about not just having a recurring gift program, but how to help your clients sustain their impact over a long period of time. So can we talk a little bit about the uniqueness of Growth Force? And if it's okay with
sure.
you, I'm going to put how to get in touch with you, all your link, all your, you know, quotes here into the show notes, because
yeah.
I'm sure we're all feeling just a little something different, a little, because I wasn't sure where this episode was going to go. I was like, the senior program, I'm not familiar with that term. I know I'm talking to but there's a lot of differences. So what differentiates you, and why do you go beyond the spreadsheet and the numbers with your clientele?
Well, first to confirm, we do the spreadsheets and the general ledger and all.
I'm sure you do. Yes.
We pay bills, we do payroll, we do billing, collections, all that stuff you would expect of an accounting department. What's nice though is it's a la carte. So you, the client, get to choose what do you want to keep in house. You know, typically we find there's a finance manager. There's somebody who has got the responsibility for making sure that the trains run on time, right? That the board package goes out, the bills get paid, payroll gets paid. What we do is we come in and complement that person and train them on how to add more value to the organization, because they're typically not a CPA. They may not even have an accounting degree. And so that first value for us is a resource, as a training resource for the in-house staff, both program staff on how to read and interpret their budgets and their financial reports each month, and the finance staff on how to operate real efficiently. What's interesting, what I find that's different here, is that in a nonprofit, you know, in our for-profit clients, it's always about growing profit, right? And so when we set out, you know, I set out 35 years ago to start doing this, in my nonprofit life, it's about growing outcomes. Not about growing profits. A nonprofit needs to be run the exact same way as a well-run for-profit. The difference is you reinvest the profits back into the mission. And so how do you do that? Well, you apply the same best practices of a for-profit to a nonprofit with just a different end goal. And so when we produce financial reports, we don't just show the organization's income statement or statement of financial activity. We show it by program, because what we really focus on is giving the program managers the data they need to make decisions. When I started as CFO of Amnesty International, again, we grew from $6 million to $18 million. There was cash flowing in, but the program managers didn't know whether they had any money left in their budget. And so we weren't spending all that money, because the people in the field in Boston and in San Francisco and in seven cities across the country didn't have access to data at their fingertips. So what we do is provide you with a profit and loss by program versus the budget every single month. And then this is the secret sauce. take the cost of each program, divide it by the number of people served, and now you can show the donor the tangible result of their gift. We know it costs $95 to put one villager on the bus to provide transportation services every month. How do we know that? We take the cost of the transportation services, divide it by the number of villagers, divided by the number of seats on the bus. So once you have the profit and loss for each program, the other part is really simple. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. I mean, you go so beyond the spreadsheet, you know, and I love the fact that you, aside from coaching on, as you call them, sustainer programs, you're also helping your clients create their social impact stories in, rather than just delivering them a bunch of numbers and data, you're really, you know, connecting the dots and delivering the story to them that they could use in multitude of ways. So I just love the fact, I would say that you are on point with your customers' financial health, not just in paying the bills, right? But just into sustaining their giving for endless days to come. And that's really special.
That's our life's work.
Yeah. Cool stuff. So what else do you talk about with your customers? We'd love to know the full repertoire from GrowthForce.
Well, cash flow is first. Cash flow is king, right? So we have a 13-week cash flow template that we built. It automatically downloads the age receivables and the age payables out of QuickBooks. And then you go in and say, okay, what week 1 through 13, am I going to pay these bills? When am I going to collect on this amount? And then you can go in and add any sources of cash and uses of cash. So you always have 13-week view into cash flow. That's the key, right? Number one. Number two is you have to be audit ready 12 months a year. If you have to prepare for an audit, then you're not doing it right. Just close your books every month, and we reconcile every single balance sheet every single month. And then this way, the auditor can come and do the audit when it's convenient for them. That will lower your audit fees. You know, a lot of people are paying $20,000, $25,000 an audit, when if their books were clean and the auditor didn't have to come back three times to get the answers they need, they'd save another $5,000 or $6,000. And then I think the other thing here is creating a report matrix. What information do your program management need? What does the leadership team need? What does the executive director need? What does the finance committee and the board need? And then be intentional about giving to them. I see a lot of board packages where, you know, it's three pages of detailed income statement, budget versus actual. And, you know, I've been a board member of many boards. When you're sitting there for an hour and a half, you have to justify your existence, right? Why? I need to contribute somehow. So you'll look for something to ask. Hey, why did your technology costs go up by 20 grand? Is there any problems here with servers or something we need to talk about? Next thing you know, the board's talking about operations. What you want to give them is trend. You want to show them direction of the critical drivers of success. And the finance committee, they need that full detailed line item detail and more. But the board, I would be careful about what you give them so that you're driving their attention to the things you need their help with. Strategically, which of the programs impact the mission the most? I have this great stack ranking program where we go through and say, which programs help you serve more people or increase the quality of service to the people you already have or help provide something that nobody else provides, and allow you to measure the program effectiveness based on how well they further the mission. That's the first step. Which of my programs further the mission the most? And then what are the economics? And then I can go to a donor and say, help me further this one because it's the best.
Steven, you are a breath of fresh air. You know, we've never had, truthfully, an agency or a firm like yours on Raise Nation Radio. I wasn't sure where this conversation was going to go because I was like, okay, well, numbers are pretty black and white. You know, what are we going to talk about? But we filled up 30 minutes in what seems like a second. I love your passion for what you do. It's not about just closing out a month or a quarter or a year and just making sure the numbers line up. It's really about sustainability. And it's just a great approach that you take, and any client would be lucky to have you in their corner. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Different perspective. And I am looking at recurring gift programs differently now. I really thought it was just like a button, you know, make sure that you're giving them the option to recur, but it's really so much more than that. So to the audience that's listening, think about that. And Stephen, if it's okay, I'm going to put all your contact information in the show notes, because if they need a little help, they're going to need to know who to contact to get that help. So is that okay with you?
Yeah.
I can get in touch with you.
If anyone's struggling financial management or just not getting actionable insights for the board,
yeah,
go to growthforce.com/NFP, non-for-profit, yeah, and you can start a conversation with somebody on our team and we'll help give you some advice.
Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic. I wish we had more time to talk. I didn't know we were going to run out of time. But that is about all we have for today. Thank you so much for listening to our audience. We hope you enjoyed today's Raise Nation topic. Probably a familiar topic, more familiar than I thought it was going to be, but yet a very fresh, new perspective on it that I think really deserves a lot of consideration. Please tune in for a new episode release every Thursday at 12:30 p.m. In the meantime, listen to all the episodes on Raise Nation Radio. And follow us wherever you like to get your podcast. We're everywhere. And this way you can get notifications about all our new guests. And if you are a fundraiser, we would love to feature you on our show. We often have causes and missions and the voice of the nonprofit. So reach out at hello@onecause.com. Your stories are inspiring and I'd love to feature them. I'd like to thank our sponsor, One Cause, for making this episode possible. One Cause is driving the future of fundraising with easy-to-use digital fundraising solutions that help nonprofits connect with donors. Check it out, onecause.com. And please visit the resource tab on the homepage. We have all sorts of content. It's all free, and hopefully you'll find it very helpful. A huge shout out and thanks to my guest, Stephen King, who is the founder and CEO of Growth Force. I'm getting a little better at saying that. I just really appreciate your perspective and your insights about sustainability and how nonprofits could sustain their revenue and how nonprofits could get their donors to be more recurring in their donations. So it was really such an interesting conversation, but I do have to ask, any last words of inspiration for our audience?
You know, I am passionate about helping nonprofits make data-driven decisions. And I wrote an ebook called An Executive Director's Guide to Board and Management Report. And it took me about 5 years to really summarize what are the steps you need to take to help run like a well-run for-profit. And I think that to me is where I think the best value could be.
Where do we find this ebook?
It's on growthforce.com/NFP, non-for-profit.
Okay, I'm going to link that out. It took you 5 years to write an ebook. That's got to be some meaty, beefy ebook.
Did, because I didn't want it to be, it had to be realistic and practical. And so we actually went ahead and did it with a number of clients after we drafted it. And then I came back and said, you know what, that's theoretically good, but not practically realistic. And so it took me a couple of versions to get it published internally.
Everything you do is big and right and deep. I'm going to be looking for that ebook for sure. And I love that your everything you share is actionable. And so you use that word a couple of times. And I know our audience appreciates that so much. You know, they don't want to be told what to do. They want to be shown, you know, what to do. What is that? Give a man a fish, he eats for a day. Teach a man to fish and he eats for a lifetime. I think that's a good slogan for you, because you're really just so actionable and passionate about it. Thank you, Stephen, so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Dawn. I appreciate you.
That is a wrap. Until next time, I'm Dawn Lego. This is Raise Nation Radio. You stay fearless out there.